Good evening, everybody. This is Financial Sense, a program presented monthly by Penny Forward. I am Penny Forward founder and CEO, Chris Peterson. If you're unfamiliar with Penny Forward and you're just joining us for the first time, Penny Forward is a nonprofit organization founded and led by blind people. Through education, mentoring, and mutual support, we help blind people navigate the complicated landscape of personal finance. You can access most of what we have to offer through our Penny Forward app, available through the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store on iOS and Android, or our website, which is www.pennyforward.com. If you have trouble with either of those and you need some extra help, you can reach us by phone through our toll-free number, 888-332-5558. We offer a free blog, podcast, and this program. And for our members, we offer self-paced online financial education courses that are all accessible to people who are blind, but are useful to people who are not blind as well. Weekly members-only group chats and monthly member meetups, and access to one-to-one financial counseling. We also publish a weekly newsletter, and we're working on more membership benefits for you. Memberships cost $9.99 a month or $99 a year. And if you're on the fence about spending that much money for a membership, you are welcome to sign up for a free guest membership at pennyforward.com and try before you buy. You can access all of that by going to our website, pennyforward.com, and selecting the Join Penny Forward link very near the top of the page. In Penny Forward news this month, the latest episode of the Penny Forward podcast just came out on Tuesday. It is an interview with Gladys Morales. She is a blind 22-year-old who is studying for her real estate license and hopes to go into real estate investing, eventually hoping to create more housing for youth aging out of the foster care system. So we hope you enjoy our interview with her, and we'll have another episode of the Penny Forward podcast coming up in another 2 weeks. Penny Forward will be exhibiting virtually at the Accessible Pharmacy Health Expo on December 1st. Liz Botner will be representing us there. We will also be attending the Association for Financial Counseling and Planning Education, or AFCPE, annual symposium in New Orleans, Louisiana, from, I believe it's November 28th through December 2nd. So if you happen to be in New Orleans and want to stop by, we would love to have you. We're getting near the holidays, so Penny Forward news is a little light, but Liz and Mo, can I ask you quickly if there is any Penny Forward news that I might have missed?
There is not any Penny Forward news that I can think of. However, I probably should take this time. I just realized in Clubhouse here, I am not a moderator. So if I need to help with anything, that should be rectified. But
well,
for that, but
I believe that I can
you can do that.
I can do that.
Yes. But
you are all going to hear my speech for just a second, and I apologize for that.
Make a moderator. But I do not believe that we missed anything. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Liz is now a moderator in Clubhouse, so I'm glad we got that taken care of. Mo, is there any Penny Forward news that you believe we have missed?
I just wanted to mention that if you are helping plan a state convention or event for next year, please let us know so we can start scheduling our events for next year.
Thank you for that. And by the way, Liz is Liz Botner, vice president of the Penny Forward board, and she's over in Clubhouse moderating our Clubhouse room. And Mo is Mo Carpenter, the Penny Forward program coordinator, and she is in Zoom moderating the Zoom room. And we are also streaming live on Facebook and on our YouTube channel because everything seems to be working correctly this evening, which is pretty great and doesn't always happen as much as we want it to be.
And we did not just jinx ourselves. No, we
That's,
did not.
I'm sure we did not. Good point. Turning then to financial news for this month. The month of October's financial data is now out, and it's important, particularly to the Federal Reserve, who has decided to keep interest rates steady for the moment, but has one more opportunity to either raise or cut interest rates before the end of the year. The consumer price index for October showed that inflation was holding at right about 3.2%. That's a little bit higher than the Fed wants it. They would like it to be more closer to 2%, but it has been on a good downward trend for a while, and it has the markets somewhat hopeful that the Federal Reserve will not need to raise interest rates anymore. That's caused the stock market to reach levels that we haven't seen since around July. And it reached a high since July. Yesterday, there was a slight pullback today, but only slight. And that is because there is some doubt or some concern that the Federal Reserve may see things differently than the markets do and may feel the need to raise interest rates a little bit more. Mortgage interest rates have dropped somewhat. They were around 8%. They have now dropped down to, in some cases, around 7.5%. And that has increased demand for mortgages and has increased home sales over the last little while. Though the housing market is still moving very, very slowly. There's not a lot of people wanting to buy. There's also not a lot of people wanting to sell. Food prices, as reported by the Consumer Price Index, are somewhat interesting. Some categories of food have increased in price pretty remarkably, such as beef and things made with beef, like hot dogs. However, chicken and other poultry types of things are a little bit cheaper than they have been. And eggs, which were a very, very expensive, especially earlier this year and late last year, have dropped by almost 22%. So eggs are now and a fairly inexpensive food choice if you like eggs as I do. Because of the grocery prices not moving up so quickly, it has changed a situation which was a little bit unique at the end of last year. At the end of last year, grocery prices had gone up a lot faster and a lot further than restaurant prices. And this meant that in some cases, you were actually getting a better deal by eating out than by buying food at the grocery store. However, that has now changed and is sort of back to normal again. Restaurant prices have gone up pretty significantly, even on the cheaper end of the restaurant spectrum, say McDonald's and Burger King. But grocery store prices have not been increasing nearly as much. So it is now more expensive to eat at somewhere, even somewhere as cheap as like a McDonald's or a Burger King, than it is to go to the grocery store and buy food and make it at home. And that is not only good for our wallets, but it is also good for our health because food that we make at home, especially if it is unprocessed food, is healthier than food that we would eat in a restaurant that tends to be fairly high calorie and high in fat and salt content and other things that aren't necessarily good for us, but taste really good nonetheless. So that's grocery prices. And that's what I've got for financial news this week. Liz or Mo, did you happen to notice any stories that you wanted to bring up?
I have not noticed anything this week that I would like to bring up at the moment. No.
Okay, thank you.
I did not have anything either.
Very good. All right, well, that's good. We are now going to move into our topic of the month, which is, and we hope that you will participate heavily in this discussion because we wanted to ask you what your favorite financial resources are, whether they are books or podcasts or radio shows or YouTube channels or TikTok channels or Instagram reels or whatever you might consume, blogs, anything. If it has anything to do with personal finance or business or leadership or anything that's sort of kind of related to any of those subjects, we want to know about it. And I'll share some of my favorites with you to get things started, and then I'll turn it over to Mo and Liz to see if they want to share any of their favorites. While it's not a personal finance book, one of the favorite books that I've read in the self-help genre, and I think it ultimately can make us more successful when it comes to earning money either through employment or self-employment, is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. The book has been around since the 1930s, and it has spawned a worldwide coaching business focused on classes in interpersonal skills and kind of, as the book suggests, how to win friends and influence people. I think of it as kind of like a rule book for those of us who kind of go through life feeling like there's a game being played socially and we don't quite understand the rules. A lot of the suggestions that it makes may feel like common sense after you read them. Some of them may feel a little bit like you are manipulating people. However, I instead feel like they are giving you an understanding of what makes people feel good when they are interacting with you. And you can either choose to use those techniques or not, but using those techniques can make it a little bit easier for you to get that next job or land that next sale if you are self-employed or anything of the kind. So that's one of my favorites. I've also been reading a lot of personal finance books lately, particularly for our book review series on the Penny Forward blog. And while it's not a very entertaining book, How to Make, what is it called? How to Make Self-Employment Work for People with Disabilities. I don't think I have the right title there. It is by David Hammes and Kerry Griffin, and it is available on Bard, and it is also available in a slightly newer edition on Amazon Kindle. And it's a book that provides some concrete examples of people with disabilities who are self-employed in different types of businesses. And not all of those businesses are very complicated, and not all of those are being done by just the person with the disability themselves. There's often some support mechanisms that they have access to that make their business work for them. And so it describes and provides examples of some of those businesses. It also describes the kinds of record keeping that you should do as a business owner if you are receiving SSI or SSDI benefits and how you should report those details to the Social Security Administration, as well as providing some examples of business plans that you can share with a VR counselor or Someone who is helping you with a ticket to work or a plan for achieving self-support or something like that. So I found it to be a very helpful book with lots of good information. The version that was published on Bard was published in 2003, if I remember correctly. There is a 2014 edition that I have not read, but it adds details about how to market yourself using social media, which I think is very applicable to a lot of the things that we do today. So I'm a big proponent of self-employment, and I really enjoyed that work, that book. Mo, I know that you listen to a lot of podcasts and you read a lot of books too. What kind of resources did you want to share tonight?
I was going to do podcasts, but I'll wait till later because I could probably fill the entire hour. I have a lot of things to share that I could share.
Okay.
Do you just want me to start with two, maybe, and
Yeah,
then?
maybe just start with a couple.
Okay, so I do listen. I just pulled up my subscription list. I'm going, like I said, I would focus on podcasts. About that, is it about that? Yeah, about that wallet. This is a person that is studying for their ASCPE. He is a gentleman in the African American realm of things. So I originally began listening to it just to get that kind of perspective, but I really enjoy his things. He does usually a chat that he then, podcasts later. I think it's on Wednesday or Thursday nights. And then sometimes he'll have a one-off podcast on different financial topics. And then another one that I listen to is Afford Anything. And this is by Paula Pant. She's, I think, getting more well known in the financial space world. She's, I believe, a journalist by education. But she has a lot of interesting things. And the idea behind Afford Anything is that if we focus on what we want to afford, we can afford anything. So those are at least two right off the bat.
Very good. Thank you, Mo. And like she said, she's got a whole list of podcasts she's subscribed to, and she's kind of my go-to for podcasts because she
I've got them
usually
all and I
draws,
keep adding.
yeah, she draws my attention to some of the best ones too.
I've added like two in the last 2 weeks, so yeah.
Yeah. Liz, how about you?
I try to kind of do different things and have a wider array of resources, whether they be books or podcasts or webinars or things like that. I don't have as many of those things as I would like to, but I don't like to stick to just one type of source because I feel like the more broad I can get with my resources, the better I am at learning things as well as sharing with other people because everyone has different learning styles and modalities, and I feel like I need to tap into, and I have different learning styles and modalities depending on different things going on. So in terms of a book, I really do like books. I'm a reader by nature. And so one book I really liked that I have read recently, and it's not just because we talked about it in our book chat, but it really, really did resonate with me. It was the You Are a Badass at Making Money by Jen Sincero, or however you pronounce her last name. I apologize if I'm mispronouncing it. But that is one book that I have really, really thought was just a really good all-around, definitely entertaining book, but it also left you with really good advice and wisdom and things to put into practice. And it didn't overcomplicate things, which I appreciate as well. And one podcast that I really like, and find that I will go to a lot just to get a quick snapshot of things is the SoFi Daily podcast, because it gives a briefing of the previous day's events and current events, as well as things we should be paying attention to. And one thing I really like is that it ends the podcast by teaching you about something that is completely non-finance related, but so it tries to loop in everyone and kind of keep the information to a level that anyone can understand it and be able to consume it. And it's a 5 minute or so podcast in length episode. So for those who may not have as much time or just want something quick, that is a very good way to do that. So those are my two things that I can think of right now.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much, Liz. All right. Well, let's open it up to our audience then that has tuned in or called in on Zoom or in Clubhouse. We've got Mo moderating the Zoom side. And Mo, why don't you give instructions for people to raise their hands and manage the Zoom side of things?
So if you are on a Mac, you will press Options Y to raise your hand and Command Shift A to mute and unmute. If you're on a PC, it is Alt Y to raise your hand and Alt A to mute or unmute. And all of these things are toggles. So if you do it once, it'll raise. If you do it again, it will lower your hand. But I will lower your hand for you, so you don't need to worry about that. And on the phone, it is *9, but I don't see anyone in here with a phone number. So I don't think we need to worry about that. And if you are on a app device, the mute and unmute is in the lower left corner. And your raise hand could be in a variety of different places, but usually in the reactions menu. It could also be by itself, or it could be under the more menu, which is typically on the right side of your options, the lower right side.
Okay, thank you, Mo. And Liz, if you would share how people can get your attention in Clubhouse.
Absolutely. In Clubhouse, in the bottom of your screen, there is a button that says Request to Speak. If you activate that button, it will send me a little prompt that you would like to speak. I will then invite you up. And when you are on stage, you, as they say in Clubhouse language, you are muted by default, and which I ask that you please stay muted until you would like to speak. And then you can unmute. And to do that where that raise to speak button previously was will be a mute unmute toggle. And for those in Clubhouse, if because you can't once I bring you up, you'll then be on stage. So if we have whenever you would like to speak in Clubhouse, I just ask that you unmute and state your name, and then I will recognize you, and that will eliminate hopefully any duplicate people wanting to talk over each other. So thank you.
Thank you, Liz. And again, we're inviting you to speak up and share your favorite resources. Or if you're looking for something on a particular topic, go ahead and raise your hand or whatever and ask, and somebody here might have just what you're looking for. Mo, do we have any raised hands on the Zoom side yet?
I've not heard any go up, and I do not see any.
All right. You want to share another podcast?
I was going to say I can go through the bees. I got three of them.
Sure.
I had Bad with Money by Gabe Dunn, formerly Gabby Dunn. And this is a podcast that I really enjoy because it brings a variety of aspects of lifestyles that I have no clue about. So obviously Gabe is transitioning into being a male, so that's where that's coming from their standpoint, but they also get other people and aspects in. He also has sometimes done some book reviews and not given your standard reactions to some of those book reviews and does a grab bag of Q&A. I don't know if it's I think it's only a couple times a month, but there's some good topics in there. There's also Borrowed Future, which is a podcast that was done by the Ramsey Solutions people, and that is over how the student loan crisis has kind of evolved over the last few years. That one is not ongoing that I can tell. At least I haven't seen anything new on it. But I have heard it advertised, so I don't know if I just don't have a good feed on it. And that also has a documentary that they released on the Borrowed Future aspect, which would not be a podcast, but that is available on streaming services, because I know we actually bought that and watched that. And what was my third one? Would that start with B? Sorry, I forgot.
It's all
Oh,
right.
Budget Nerds. That was the other one. And this is people from the You Need a Budget, and they go over a variety of ways that to use that app in creative ways. So that's a little more of a niche topic, but it's still entertaining.
Well, thank you.
The Bad with Money podcast, that is also a book, and I actually am reading that right now. Bard has it, but it was written by Gabby Dunn, I guess, who is now Dave Dunn. But the author is Gabby Dunn, and that is a book. So I don't know if the podcast was a spin-off of the book or vice
I
versa,
believe
but
the book came first. I don't
okay.
remember, but yeah, I read the book, I think, first and found the podcast after that. I don't
See, it's
remember. I
just
know
funny that
Chris
I'm like,
has
oh,
also
I'm
read
reading
the
that
book.
book.
I have read the book, and I have actually done a book review of it on pennyforward.com. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So, that's a little bit of a spoiler alert, but if you want to go and read what I wrote about it, on pennyforward.com, click on the products and services menu and go to the resources by category and choose the book reviews category. And you can find it there, along with a bunch of other book reviews that many of us have published. Liz, has anyone unmuted themselves and asked to speak over on the Clubhouse side?
Not at this very moment.
Okay. Another book that I enjoyed is called The Simple Path to Wealth by J.L. Collins. It is a series of letters that were also posted as blog posts to his website. They were letters to his 24-year-old daughter, who really didn't have much of an interest in money or wealth building at all, but he wanted to give her his advice for when she was ready to take it. And so it's written in a very simple and understandable way that kind of explains saving, why you'd want to save, why you'd want to invest, why the markets fluctuate in a very kind of fatherly, folksy way. And this has become a very popular book, particularly in the financial independence, retire early, or FIRE community. But whether you are a FIRE person or not, it is still, in my opinion, a really good book with a lot of helpful advice and helpful information in it. That was another one. The Psychology of Money by Morgan Housel is an interesting book that really looks at human behaviors around money and kind of argues that there are a lot of things that we maybe should do because they are mathematically correct, but that we don't do because of lots of different types of emotions. Fear is a big one. And the need for safety and security is another one. And so he kind of punctuates that or illustrates that with stories of different events, different things that have happened in the markets or in the world that sort of illustrate this idea that sometimes good things happen to good people during bad times, and sometimes they don't. And just because maybe the world sees a particular event as good doesn't mean that it's good for everybody, doesn't mean that it's bad for everybody either. So I enjoyed that sort of look at the psychology aspect of the way that we handle money. Mo, do we have any raised hands over on the Zoom side, or do you have any resources you want to share? In the
We
C's,
do
maybe?
not have any hands, and I do have some C's for you. I have Choice Hacking, which is a podcast that kind of goes over how businesses, how they strategize things. So I listened to one that was about Red Bull recently, and how they've been able to kind of keep on top in their industry with spending really a little bit of money. And those are under 20 minutes, and they only come out, I think, every 2 weeks now that they're back to going. They took a break over the summer, so there's only been a few recently. And then the most recent was a two-part series on Amazon's strategy on how they keep customers and do their strategies for customers. And then my other C one. Oh, I scrolled down. Is Crazy Money. I don't know a lot about this one yet. This is one of the new ones that I got to. It is like an hour long podcast that I think releases once a week, and he interviews different people. So I listened to one that was about someone in the sports industry, and I'm forgetting which sport actually that he was because I listened to it really fast. And that's not one of my key interest areas, so I wasn't paying as attention as good as I should, but it was interesting to hear that aspect. And then he had someone who was in the professional music scene, which was another one that I recently listened to. And those are my C's, and we do have a hand up. And that is Teresa. So, Teresa, go ahead.
Hello. So my go-to is books. I have a lot of podcasts that I'm signed up for, and I just forget to go listen to them. And my thing has been personal development. So anyway, but why I really raised my hand was I've had a lot of distractions going on, and I haven't been able to take notes. Do you guys have show notes for this, or just listen to the recording later and get the notes?
No,
I
we'll
am
publish.
attempting to
Yep.
take notes as we go. So,
Okay. Yeah,
attempting.
we usually do our best to publish show notes for these
Okay.
afterwards. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you. Because you guys are saying a lot of cool resources. And I'm like, what was that? I didn't. So, okay. That was my big fat question.
Oh, thank you for that.
Okay. I'm muting.
All right. Liz, how about the Clubhouse side, or do you have any additional resources that you'd want to share?
We do not have anyone currently in Clubhouse on stage other than myself at the moment.
All right. I'm just looking through some of the other books that I've read here. Rich Dad, Poor Dad: What the Rich Teach Their Kids About Money That the Poor and Middle Class Do Not. This is a really popular book in the financial or in the personal finance space. And the first time I heard about it was in the 1990s when my roommate read it and explained to me kind of some of the things that it said. And I either didn't have access to it at the time or didn't take the time to get access to it. But I've read it now, and I wasn't a big fan of it. Well, I think it talks about concepts that I think we all are maybe need to think more about when building wealth, such as looking at our assets and our liabilities. In other words, if you buy something, is that something going to help you to build wealth or help you to make money? Or is it something that is going to drain money away from other things that could help you to make money? I think those are very good concepts that are explained very well in this book, and that it might be worth reading for. However, one of the things that really disturbed me about it is the idea that a lot of poor people or middle class people are poor or middle class because they are lazy. And that just isn't true. There are a lot of people who are working very hard and struggling very hard. And maybe it's because they don't understand how to manage their money well. But there's also an aspect to struggling that can make it difficult to change. You can be so focused on just getting through the next day, or just getting through the next week, or just putting the next meal on the table, that it can be very difficult to find the time or the energy to focus on any more long-term strategy than that. And so I felt like the tone of this book was kind of suggesting that people who struggle are doing it out of laziness or stupidity. And I disagree with that line of thinking. I wouldn't be doing financial education if I didn't think that there was a problem that, in this country with people not knowing how to manage their money as well as they could. But I also do recognize that sometimes it can be very difficult to find the time and the spoons, if you will, to think more long term if you're so focused on just getting over the next challenge of the next hour or the next day. We also read as a book discussion, Baby Steps Millionaires. Was it Baby Steps Millionaires? That wasn't the Dave Ramsey book that we did for a book discussion, but there's a book review here that I
No, we
think
just did
that
the
was from
Total Money
Julie.
Makeover.
Total Money Makeover. Thank you. That's the one that I was thinking of. We
But
did that
Baby
as.
Steps Millionaire is another book that I haven't read all of that one, but that's another one by them.
Yeah, there's a book review of that that I believe was submitted by Julie Klein. But Total Money Makeover was the one that I was thinking of. I actually started getting interested in personal finance by listening to Clark Howard, and later on listening to Dave Ramsey. And there's a lot of stuff I like about what Dave Ramsey teaches. Though I don't think I'm a big fan of Dave Ramsey, the person. However, I do really find that the idea of financial peace resonates with me, and that staying out of debt and making decisions that make you feel safe and secure with your money are very important things, and those are themes that Ramsey and I entirely agree on. So I generally enjoyed the book, though there are some parts of it that can be very controversial. One of the parts that is most controversial is Dave's idea of retirement planning, where he basically suggests that you should be able to safely withdraw about 8% from your retirement nest egg per year, without running out of money. And many, many financial experts don't agree with that. And some, like Suze Orman, think that maybe a 3% is safer. William Bengen was a financial planner who published a paper coining something called the 4% rule that said 4% was a good safe number. And he's actually since then studied that and said maybe even 4.5% or a little bit higher might be safe in some circumstances. And of course, this fluctuates depending on the interest rate environment and also the just sort of the economy over time. However, there was an interesting article that I read. I think it was in the Motley Fool this morning that suggested that for at least some people, that 8% rule or not necessarily that 8% rule that Ramsey comes up with is safe, but they suggested that the rate that you need to withdraw during retirement may be a lot lower than you estimate it to be, particularly if you are parents raising children. For example, my wife and I have two kids, and when we retire, those two kids, we are pretty sure, we hope, will not be living with us anymore. So we won't be paying for food for them anymore. We won't be paying for their school activities. We won't be paying for musical instrument rentals or other things like that. We may not even spend as much money on things like Christmas presents and birthday presents and allowances and other things for our kids that we are while they're growing up. And so for us, we may be able to live on something like half of what we live on during our working years because of that, meaning that 4% for us, maybe 4% of say half of what we estimated to get our full set to pay back our full salary may be plenty, depending on our retirement lifestyle. Now, that may not hold true for somebody that's single or for a couple that has no children. Their lifestyle during retirement may be much more similar to their working lifestyle, but it also could change if they traveled a lot during their work years and maybe decide they don't want to do that during retirement or whatever. That may make somewhat of a difference. Anyway, that is a part of Total Money Makeover that has sparked a lot of controversy, and I think needs to be looked at on a very individual basis. And I didn't mean to talk so long about that. Let's go back to Zoom. And Mo, do you have more podcasts for us or any raised hands on Zoom?
I do not see any raised hands. I don't have any D's, so we're going to skip D's. I'm going to skip E's just because we're running low on time. But I did have two in my F's that I wanted to share, and that's Financial Feminist. And that is done by Tori Dunlap. And she is a ball of energy. And those are very entertaining podcasts. And she's doing a series that has things that are kind of quick start things that are going on that come out. I think they're supposed to come out once a week or something, but I've seen them come out a little more sporadic than that. And then she has some longer form ones. And then the other one is one of my ultimate favorites, and that's the Frugal Friends podcast. And that one has two ladies that do it. One's a mom, one is not. And they have just a whole variety of things that they cover and lots of frugal and minimalist tips, but being realistic. And I believe they're working on a book right now that is on kind of finding your why and that kind of thing. And so that is also one of my favorites.
All right. Well, thank you, Mo. Liz, how about over on the clubhouse side? Anyone speaking up over there?
Not at this very second.
Okay. Looking at some other resources that have been sent in by Penny Forward members. And these I'm not as familiar with, but there is Love Your Life, Not Theirs by Rachel Cruz. Here's one that you read, I think, Mo, Dollars and Cents. A Kid's Guide to
Yep.
Using, Not Losing Money. You want to talk about that at all?
It's been a while. I think that was the one that I said was a really entertaining read, but I didn't really see it as a using money wisely read. It had some good information about terminology and things, and like I said, it had a lot on money's history, and that was really entertaining. But it didn't really go into real depth on how to grow your money and use it so that you have it later in life.
Okay, thank you. Again, we're looking for your favorite financial resources or self-help, personal development, leadership, business, whatever you got. We're happy to hear them, and we'll try and collect them and share them in the show notes for this program. So go ahead and raise your hand on Zoom or unmute yourself on Clubhouse and wait to be recognized, and we'll be happy to have them.
And if
Another.
you happen to be listening to this after the fact, feel free to send us suggestions. We will give our email address at the end of this, I suppose.
Yeah.
But absolutely feel free to send us suggest your suggestions. We would be happy to have them.
Very much so. Julie Klein did a review of Planning for the Later Years. By the United States Social Security Administration, Baby Steps Millionaires, which is another Ramsey book that is a follow-on to Total Money Makeover, and You're 50, Now What? Investing for the Second Half of Your Life by Charles Schwab is another one that was sent in by Julie Klein. So, I want to just mention that if you are a Penny Forward member, one of the membership benefits that you have access to is the ability to submit posts to our blog. And we will review them, make sure that all of the spelling and grammar is correct, and make sure that they are categorized appropriately. But if you have a book review you'd like to submit, or another resource that you know of that you want to share, or you'd like to review an app or a website or anything like that, you're welcome to do that through pennyforward.com. Again, that's on the My Products and Services menu. There is a submit an article page, and there is also a submit an event page that allows you to place events on our events calendar on the Penny Forward app and on pennyforward.com. So if you would like more publicity put towards your ACB or NFB affiliate, maybe their state convention, maybe a chapter event, maybe a virtual presentation that you think might be of interest to the blind community, or a personal finance event that you believe might be of interest to the blind community. Maybe something that's hosted by Ramsey or Suze Orman or J.L. Collins or something like that, where you've maybe attended their events before, you know that they're easy to access or relatively easy to access with a screen reader. We'd love to hear about those things. Again, that's all available in the products and services menu in the Penny Forward app and on the pennyforward.com website. And you do need to be a Penny Forward member to submit those things. Again, that can be done by clicking the Join Penny Forward link near the top of the web page. It looks like we got a kind of a small crowd here tonight. So, Mo, I'm going to turn it over to you and see if you've got any more resources to share in the last 9 minutes that we have in the program this evening.
Well, are we through the alphabet?
I don't know.
I did have 3 in H that I really enjoy all of these. Again, all of these pretty much have some kind of personal finance spin. These all have a little bit different. The first one was Her Dinero Matters, which is, of course, a Latina Hispanic spin on money education. And her money, which is another, both Her Dinero Matters and Her Money are done by AFCs, and they're just really educational people. And then How to Money is two guys. I think they're in the Atlanta, Georgia area, but they also have an entertaining podcast.
Great. Well, thank you for those. And I'm not noticing any raised hands over in, oh, I hear a barking dog. I'm not noticing any raised hands over in Zoom, but feel free to raise your hand over in Zoom if you have something you want to share. Liz, I'll just check up with you quick to see if there's anything over in Clubhouse.
There is not anything in Clubhouse at the moment.
All right. One of the interesting things I wanted to tell you about, I mentioned the Simple Path to Wealth earlier, and The Simple Path to Wealth is published as an audiobook that's read by the author, and the entire book read by the author is available on his YouTube channel for free. So if you are able to listen to audiobooks through YouTube, which can be challenging because I believe it's about an eight hour book or so, that may be a way that you can access it if you don't find it somewhere else. I did actually purchase it on Audible because I just couldn't keep my place in YouTube long enough to listen to the entire book, but it is out there for free. So you can go and search for that on YouTube. It's 23 minutes after, and we are starting to get close to the end of the program. So I want to bring us back to Penny Forward, the organization. Penny Forward is a nonprofit organization, which means that we are supported by your donations. Our Penny Forward app is called Penny Forward, two words. And it is available for iOS and Android through the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store. There are also links to it on our website, pennyforward.com, which coincidentally is where you can make a tax-deductible donation to Penny Forward if you find what we are doing to be useful. And remember that you can access our members-only services, such as our self-paced online courses, our members-only group chats, our weekly newsletter, and one-on-one financial counseling. By joining Penny Forward, simply select the Join Penny Forward near the top of the page and sign up for either a free guest membership where you can try stuff before you decide to sign up and pay for it, or a monthly membership for $9.99 a month, or a yearly membership for $99 a year. While you're there, check out the Penny Forward podcast, where we feature blind people building bright futures one penny at a time. We have some great episodes there. Currently, we're featuring Gladys Morales, a blind 22-year-old who is studying for her real estate license. But there's all kinds of other interesting blind people that we have had a chance to interview and financial topics that we have had a chance to cover. Some of the most interesting have been George Wurtzel, the blind Subaru guy from the Subaru commercial a few years ago. He's into woodworking. We've also talked to Bruce Horak, the first blind person to play a role on a Star Trek series. He played the chief engineer Hemmer in the first season of Star Trek Strange New Worlds on Paramount Plus. And he's come back as himself and as a couple of other characters in the second season as well. And we've had so many other interesting guests. Sherry Wells Jensen, who was one of the people, one of the first blind people to experience a zero gravity training flight, and has a lot of interesting thoughts on what it's going to be like for people with disabilities to live and work in space someday. So we hope you check out the Penny Forward podcast and see if maybe we have something to offer for you there. In our members-only group chats, we cover financial topics from a blinder's perspective. A lot of them are somewhat similar to the Financial Sense programs. Sometimes we go in a little bit deeper on specific topics. Sometimes they are a little bit more or maybe a little bit less interactive. But they happen every week. And this month, we are doing a speaker series where we are bringing in speakers who have careers in personal finance. So far, we have had Kane Brolin, who is a blind certified financial planner, practicing in Mishawaka, Indiana, and licensed in a number of other states. And Bob Shingleton, who is a retired examiner for the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, who talked to us about some of the things that he's experienced throughout his career and why the FDIC exists to keep our money safe when we keep it in banks. Coming up this next week, we are going to have Amy Smith from the Association for Financial Counseling and Planning Education. Amy is an accredited financial counselor, and she is also the membership services coordinator for AFCPE. And she's going to talk about the AFC and about some of the job roles and responsibilities and earning potential that might exist if you have an AFC and choose to do financial counseling as a career. And we're still looking for a fourth speaker for the last Wednesday in November. We're hoping to find somebody who is familiar with accounting and bookkeeping and maybe tax preparation to bring in. But we have a few other options if that doesn't pan out. So we're working on that. That's just a sampling of some of the group chats that we have done. And we're always looking to add more topic areas, and we're always interested in hearing your feedback. Also, we need your help. We are a fairly small group of people trying to do a fairly big thing. We just released our 2024 to 2026 strategic plan, which you can view at www.pennyforward.com/strategy. And to put our strategy into action, we have established three action teams focused on operations of the organization, content development, making sure that we're putting out reputable content on this program and through all of the other things that we produce with Penny Forward, and communications, which is focused on getting the word out and bringing more people to our programs and our services. If you have an interest in any of those areas and believe that financial education to the blind community is important, please visit www.pennyforward.com/actionteams and fill out the brief application form there to let us know which areas you might be interested in helping with. That also lets us know how many hours you might be able to dedicate and what days you might be available to help so that we can schedule things so that the most people can attend. And we appreciate you in advance. Before we go, Mo, any last words from you?
I just wanted to share one more podcast because it is someone in our blindness community, and that is Live Life Rich. And yeah, it's she has a lot of really inspirational and motivational information she has on her podcast.
Live Life Rich. Wonderful. Okay. And Liz, any last words from you?
I wanted to share the email address because I had mentioned that we would share it, and I don't know that we have. But for those of you who would like to get in touch with us via email for your financial resource suggestions and else and other things, our email address is pennyforward@pennyforward.com.
Thank you, Liz. And in case you missed that, you were a little bit choppy there for some reason, Liz. That email address is pennyforward@pennyforward.com. And if you'd prefer to reach us by phone, you can do that too. Our phone number is 888-332-5558. Again, that's 888-332-5558. And all of that information is available through our website, which is pennyforward.com, if you happen to miss it. Thank you for watching and listening, and we hope to see you back here next month for Financial Sense. Good evening, everybody.